Okay, today's daf is daf Kuf Chavav. We're going to start at the words Mina Timra, about 9 lines from the bottom of Kuf Chav Hei Amud Bet. We saw two approaches yesterday. We had the Mishnah Kuli Tameh, and then we said, right, it's Tameh B'maga, and then we said, does Tameh B'maga mean B'maga and not B'ol? And then we had to explain, it was a case of less than a Kazayit. And then we talked about what each, that was less than a kazayit. The other case of the Mishnah were more than a kazayit. And then we had to explain why, what each part of the Mishnah was coming to teach according to that interpretation. Then we saw that it was said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that, Rabbi Yochanan said it's a case where it is kazayit and the naga is the same as ma'ahil. And then we have this whole discussion. Who's then the author of this Mishnah who says that maga and ma'ahil are the same? And then we ended with these two different interpretations of Rav and Abaye. We saw this bright about Rabbi Yossi, that he says, melo tarvad rekev mitame b'maga b'masa uba ohel. And then we had to explain, why does it say maga and ohel if they're one and the same? And we had two distinctions. Abaye said, lamata mitefach, right? If the object is within a tefach, it's one thing. If it's lamala mitefach, it's another thing, right? In other words, they're both types of ohel, but if you're within a tefach, that's called nigia. It's as if you're touching it. And if you're without a tefach, or you're higher than a tefach, or distance more than a tefach, remember this is when the tumah goes straight up, then that's going to be ohel, regular ohel. And Rava says, no, the distinction is between ohel. There's two types of ohel. There's ohel that there's an object not with a covering, and then it goes straight up or straight down. That's one type of ohel. We call that negia. It's as if you're touching it because it goes straight up and you're in the airspace. It's as if it fills the airspace. As opposed to regular ohel, which isn't called negia, which we're going to talk is when something's in, when we mean something's in a house and it kind of spreads everywhere, then if you're tummy from it, it's not because you're touching it, it's because you're under the same roof. So those were two different interpretations. Now we want to say, so who's the Tana? Then we brought this case, okay, in order to say about this, in order to prove what Rabbi Yossi holds. We brought this case about the, as Rava brought a case to prove his point from the Chavilei Mitan Sarigei Chalonot, where you put kind of like a netting over something tame. If it's not rooted into the wall, right? If it's built into the wall, it becomes a machitza. If it's not built into the wall, then above the item, we're going to call that, right? If you put your hand above the bars or the netting where it's closed, it's not going to be tame. And if you put it where it's open, it's going to be tame. And Rabbi Yossi said, one second, looking at a nekev. So then, right, and then there was a debate, was that within a tefach or outside of a tefach? So then we said, but why isn't this tumah tmuna bokad v'ola? In other words, if the whole thing was Abaye said it's within a tefach. So if it's within a tefach, we have a problem with Abaye. If it's within a tefach, normally we say that if there's a covering, right, if there's something tameh with a space of a tefach, then we assume that that kind of makes its own ohel and blocks the tumah from going out. But if there isn't a tefach, then that's what we call tumah tmuna bokat ve'ola. If there's not a space of a tefach above something tameh, then that item doesn't serve as an ohel, and the tumah goes straight up, which means that if according to Abaye this is within a tefach, then why wouldn't the tumah be coming out? That's where we ended. So we said, well, we ended with this next line, which is Rabbi Yossi must hold that tumah tmuna eina bokat. Okay, now we have to prove, because it's a nice answer, easy answer, but how do we know? We can't just stam say that he holds this. How do we know that he holds this? So now we're going to start with a Mishnah. I know, hello, another Mishnah. Tevat ha-migdal sheyesh ba potech tefach ve'ein bi'yitziata potech tefach. Okay, this is a closet, like a chest, with different compartments in it. I was thinking almost like an IKEA, okay, we can all relate to IKEA, an IKEA closet, where you have baskets inside, you know, but let's say a drawer. Okay, now the drawer blocks the exit, so you don't have a tefach of opening, right? Now, if you have an open closet where you open the door and then you have compartments and it's all just open shelves, like some of the IKEA closets, right? Or some parts of IKEA closets. So then we're going to assume, right, that's a big opening of a tefach. But if you have a Tevat Amigdal, so if you have Sheyeshba Potech Tefach, and that is number one, there's space in that Kabi with a Tefach of empty space above whatever's there, right? In other words, the assumption is we're going to say there's a Sheretz in that, right? Imagine your IKEA closet and you open it up and there's a dead Sheretz inside. Okay, very pleasant.
You've never seen Dukim anywhere.
Right, exactly. So there's a dead Sheretz inside. But there's a tefach of space above it within that shelf. So now, what's the issue? Ein biyitziata potech tefach. Okay, but there's a drawer, right? So the drawer has the side of the drawer is basically blocking the exit. So you don't have where it comes out an opening of a tefach. Tuma bitocha. If there's a sheretz inside there, habayit tameh. Okay, what happens? The tumah leaves there, even though the exit doesn't have a tefach, the tumah comes out of there now. What's the issue? If you have a potech tefach, then what do we say? The roof of that item blocks the tumah from coming out. But what's the problem here? There is an opening. So when there's an opening, it's not totally sealed. If it's a sealed box, remember we had that, what is it called? The cheres with the seal on it. Samid patil alav. Okay, right? When it's totally sealed and it can't get out, then the tumah stays in. But when there's an opening, any sort of opening, even not the size of a tefach, the tumah goes out of there and into the house. So you have this, you know, IKEA closet's a good example because sometimes they come without doors, right? So you have this IKEA closet without doors. You have the drawer. So there's space between the top of the drawer, right? There's always a little bit of open space. So the tumah's going to come out of there. However, if the sheretz isn't there, but the sheretz is in your house, okay, then we're going to say, right, the tumah babayit, if the tumah is in the house, actually, I want to think, is this, the tumah be a tumah sheretz also, or would it just be where we have tumah ohel, and it would be like a mate? Okay, that's a good question. Sorry, it would have to be not a sheretz, it would have to be a mate, okay, worse vision. Okay, you have a part of a dead body in your closet. Okay, so then that would tumah would come out because this is all tumah oa, which isn't related to sheretz. Sorry, my mistake. Okay, so now, but if the tumah was betoch habayit, okay, tumah babayit, masha betocha tahor, anything in that drawer is protected. Mipnei. Now this is because what? Because the opening isn't a tefach. In order to get in, you need a tefach of opening for it to get in from the house. Okay? We're going to explain why in a minute. Mipnei shederech tumah, let's say, ve'ein derech tumah likanes. If you have a mate in the house, the assumption is what? You're not going to put that mate into your drawer. That tumah is going to eventually leave your house and not get into the drawer. But if the tumah is in the drawer, the assumption is it's going to come out. Therefore, when we're going in the direction of does the tumah come out through the drawer, through the small opening of the drawer, we'll say yes, because the assumption is eventually this tumah is going to get out of your house in any case and get out of the drawer. But when we goes the other direction, the tumah from the house, the tamei mate is not, the mate is not going to end up getting into your drawer, and therefore it's not going to go inside when it doesn't have a big enough space. That's Tanakam. For Rabbi Yossi, remember, that's what we were looking for, Rabbi Yossi's opinion. We want to know where Rabbi Yossi says, Tumah Tmuna, Eina Bokat, right? That when you have Tumah in a space, it doesn't go up. So we're not going to see it so quickly yet, but Rabbi Yossi Mitaher, he says, no, even if it's in the drawer, since there's no opening of a Tefach, it's mitaher, it doesn't get the house tameh. Why? Mipnei sheyacholu lahotziah lechatzaim o lesorfa b'mkoma. This won't necessarily end up in your house, even though tumah, the assumption is you'll take it eventually out of your house. The only way it's going to be mitame your house is if it comes out in the size of a kezayit. But there's some other ways you can get this out. You can cut it up into smaller pieces somehow, even though
without opening the drawer.
So the assumption is that in theory you could. You could like put something, again, creatively, but yeah, maybe you could somehow get it into pieces, or right? It's tough to exactly say, but I guess if it's a thin opening, you put your hand in and break it up and take it out in pieces. Now you have to remember that you want to get it out in pieces because you don't really want to be metame anything in your house. So if you had a way to do it, you figure out a way to do it. I was thinking like stuff was stuck in the back of a drawer and I was trying to get it out with a hanger, you know, like you could always come up with some way to get things out, you know, and break it up. You could try to put something in and break it up before you take it out. Because again, you don't want to be tummy everything in your house. So since there's some way to do it, Olis or Fabim Koma, this sounds a little more creative, I'm not exactly sure. Blowtorch, put a blowtorch inside and kind of blowtorch it up. No, that wouldn't mess up your drawer or anything. But okay, I don't think IKEA closets would handle that kind of thing. They don't seem to handle other things either. Okay. Now, so fine. That's the first part of the mission. Then it says, V'katane seifa he'emida bapetach upatcha lachutz. What if you had this closet facing outside your house? It was in your house, but the exit of it was kind of facing out the house. What would that do, basically? It would send the tumah out, right? Not get into your house. Tumah b'tocha, if the tumah is inside it, habayit tahor. It doesn't get your, because it's facing the outside. Tumah b'bayit, masha b'tocha tahor. And if there's tumah in the house, then obviously it doesn't get anything in there tahor.
So could you move the piece of furniture as a way?
Yeah, you could. According to this, it sounds like you could totally move the furniture and then you wouldn't have an issue. No, because it's not true. Because if you hold by Tana Kama, then it already got out into the house, so you wouldn't be able to move it. Unless it had, let's say, a closed door. If it was closed and you hadn't opened it yet and you wanted to open it, in theory, you could move it to the doorway if there was a way, you know, let's say you have an open window space and you could somehow open the door and it wouldn't be in the house. V'tane Allah, and now on the second part. Now remember the second part. The second part said if you have it by the entrance, by your door, and you open it up outside, right, and or the opening is to the outside, then everything's tahor, right? Tuma babayit tahor. Tuma b'tocha habayit tahor. Tuma babayit masha b'tocha tahor. V'tane Allah, and it says about this Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi mitaher. Now, on what part of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi referring to? Okay, this is a braita that was said about this Mishnah. It obviously can't be the Seifa because the Seifa already said tahor. So ahaya, ilema Seifa Tanakami nami tuhuri kamitahir. Tanakam already said it's tahor, so obviously Rabbi Yossi can't be talking about that. But if you say that Rabbi Yossi mitahir is on the Reisha, look at what the Reisha says. The Reisha said, okay, go back to the Reisha. The Reisha said, according to Tanakama, if you have without an opening, right, what's going to happen? Tuma b'tocha habayit tamei, tuma b'bayit, then whatever's inside is tahor. And then Rabbi Yossi mitaher mipnei shu yachol lahotzi al hachatzaim alos rafavim koma. He was already mitaher there also. So ela dekamar tanakama tuma b'tocha tamei, imishum, ela, so now they're going to say it like this. Ela dekamar, it must be that Tanakama says Tuma b'tocha habayit tamei for two reasons, okay, or in two ways. We view this as two things. Tuma b'tocha, if there's Tuma in there, remember we said there was a tefach of space above it, and there's Tuma inside it. So the Tuma, because, right, it kind of goes out of there. So Tuma b'tocha habayit tamei, imishum diderek Tuma, let's say. Their first claim was Tuma goes out. You're going to eventually take this out, and therefore we're going to say the Tuma goes out of this closet. I'm going to add a word, ve'ola, right? And also because tumah t'muna bokad ve'ola, okay? And this is because, right, we would say, one second, I have to refresh my memory about this. Right, they said that this was all if there's a space of a tefach, right? If yesh ba potech tefach, but aim bi yitziata, then this is what happens. What does it seem to imply? That if there wasn't a tefach, what would happen? Well, if there wasn't a tefach, this would be a classic case of tumah t'muna bokat ve'ola. It would go straight up. So in other words, what they're saying is the tumah gets out in one of two ways. Either there's a tefach of space in this drawer that's in this closet, in which case the tumah, right, that kind of creates an ohel, which means the tumah really shouldn't get out. However, since there's a space in the opening of where the drawer is, there's a little bit of space, the tumah is going to go out. If there wasn't a tefach between the mate and the top of the drawer, let's say you had a really narrow drawer, and then what would happen? So the assumption is now it's all from something implied in the Mishnah. It doesn't say this, but the assumption is since they said specifically tefach of space, if there wasn't a tefach, the tumah would just go straight up out of the closet. So
the space has to be above it, not like if it's a drawer and there's space in front of the drawer.
I assume it means above it because the Tomb of Bokhakola is always going straight up. It's not going to the side. So I assume that's what they mean. Now, that's where they said Vitane ala Rabbi Yossi Mitaher. And now we finally get to the he holds the Tumuna Bokat Tumatumuna Eina Bokat. Okay, Amarle Rabbi Yossi. So now this whole thing about Rabbi Yossi is all based on an inference in what the Mishnah says. It's a little bit rachok, but it does make sense that that's what he would think because he only says tefach of space, implying if there wasn't a tefach of space, then it would just be a classic case of Tumat Tumuna. Amarle Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi's reaction is Amarta Derev Tumah. Let's say so that was where he appeared explicitly in the Mishnah. Yacholu Lahotzi Alachasein Olus Sofrabim Komov. And when they had this braita about this Mishnah that said Rabbi Yossi Mitaher, with the Udika Amarta was relating to the other issue. Udika Amarta, Tumuna, it's like a tongue twister. Mm-hmm. Bokaat, Tumat Tumuna, Eina Bokaat, I disagree with you about that. Okay? So now we have from an inference in this Mishnah, including a braita about this Mishnah where it said Rabbi Yossi Mitaher, which made no sense because all over the Mishnah Rabbi Yossi was Mitaher, so it must be referring to something else. It must be referring to that Tumat Tumuna is Eina Boka Ve'ola. Okay? Doesn't go out even if, right? Even if there's not a tefach of space above it, right? Obviously, if there's a tefach of space, it's not going to go out. But if there isn't a tefach of space, then it's also not going to go out. Okay? That's his chiddush. So now we're going to say, wait a minute. If that's what Rabbi Yossi says, Virami to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, he himself contradicted. That assumption contradicts another place where Rabbi Yossi says something. Ditna. Hakelev she'achal basar meit. Okay, we're going to have a strange case. Kelev eats, this isn't so strange. Kelev eats a piece of a meit. Now, what's the issue? The kelev now, umeit hakelev. The kelev dies. If the kelev eats a dead piece of meat of a dead person, what would happen? That's our case where you eat a tabad or something. If you're alive, the tomb is inside, it doesn't get out. Once you're dead, what happens? Let's say he eats it and immediately dies and the mate is still right in his body. So the assumption is that tumah goes out because it's now part of the animal's body and the animal is carrying inside tumah, mate. So we're going to basically say that mate comes out. So now the question is, okay, it's an interesting case. Mutal al haskufa. He's right on the lintel. Okay, so if you look at a doorway, okay, there's the mashkof, right? That's where the mezuzah goes on the doorpost. On the floor of that, right, a door is always wide. So there's a floor space underneath that doorpost that's basically partly in your house, partly not in your house. Do you call that in your house? Do you call that outside your house? Okay? That's going to be part of the issue here. We're going to see actually a lot of opinions in this Mishnah. It's another Mishnah, O'alot, in Perek Yud Aleph, Mishnah Zayin. So it's on the askufa, the dead dog. Okay, right? Another pleasant situation. Rabbi Meir Omer, im yesh b'tzavaro potech tefach. Okay, now, if his neck has, in the circumference of his neck, a tefach, okay, the assumption is that we're going to view this, even though there's stuff inside his throat, we're going to view this as open space inside, okay? So if the tefach, if the neck, if you measure it from the outside, the circumference of the neck, and there's a potech tefach, which means there's a tefach of space, which means what? That the food inside, right, now has a tefach, an open tefach of space here. So, im yesh b'tzavaro potech, petach mevi et hatumah. Basically, the tumah is going to go out through that space. Okay? V'im lav, eino mevi et hatumah. But if not, then it's not going to be mitami. So it depends on the circumference of its neck.
But that's the opposite.
Right. So, yeah. I was thinking that right now. I didn't... Because then, right, you would say there's a potech tefach, but it's open. But it's open, so if there's a tefach of space, no, it's like we talked about the drawer. If the drawer has an opening of a tefach, then the tumah goes out. If it has an opening less than a tefach, then we have this homachlok, it does it go out or doesn't it go out? So he's going to say, if it has a potech tefach, then you can do it. Imlav, the tumah doesn't go out, because it's kind of closed in there. Rabbi Yossi Omer, ro'in, okay, the forget who says it, but they add the nusach, ro'im et hatumah. We look at where exactly the mate is in where the dog is. In other words, the mate, we assume, is in its stomach. And then, where is the dog situated?
Wait, it's digested or it's
So it's digested. It's already gone down.
But we learned before that any animal that digested something is no longer considered. It loses its status. It becomes part of the animal.
So at this point, it's. I think the assumption is that here it's kind of like beyond the throat, but not all the way. And, right. It's and kind of this in between. Right. And we didn't exactly talk about how much time elapsed. Right. There's. Yeah. Right. Right. Some people say one of the reasons why, if he's alive, is because the food's being digested, you know, the item's being digested, and that's why we don't, it's not mitame. But at this point, we assume it wasn't digested. That's the assumption. So Rabbi Yossi says, ro'ina tatuma mikineged hashkof vilifnim habayit tameh. If it's from where the lintel is, like meaning the end of the lintel, basically meaning inside the house, right? If you have your door, where your door is, right, the not counting the lintel at all as part of your house. So mikineged hamashkof lifnim, and then it goes inside habayit tameh. Mikineged hashkofu lachutz habayit tahor. If it's anywhere in the lintel space, or obviously outside, then it's going to be considered outside. It's not going to be mitame your house. Rabbi Elazar omer, piv lifnim habayit tahor. This sounds like the closet, right? If its mouth, it's a little different. It's not necessarily the mouth is opening to there, but if the mouth is inside, actually the opposite, sorry. If the mouth is inside, then the bayit is tahor. It's dafka the opposite. He doesn't think that it goes through the mouth. What does he say? Piv lachutz. Now, if piv lifnim and your dog is on the lintel, then what do we assume? The peh is inside and the rest of its body, right, or where the stomach is, let's say, or where the, you know, where the, we're going to really talk about where the food leaves its body. So that, the what do you say? In Hebrew, the achara, right? The backside of his body is outside. So then we're going to say it's tahor. But if it's the reverse, piv bachutz, that means that the other part of his body is inside. Then we're going to say abaya tameh. Why? This goes with what we said before about tumah going out. Since eventually the tumah is going to go out, before we had it that you're going to take the dead person out of the drawer. In this case, the tumah is going to come out when he excretes his feces. So what are we going to say here? Mipnei shetumah yotzei derech shulav. That's why the bayit is going to be tameh, because the assumption is that's the direction, right? And that's the part that's in the house right
now. But he's dead.
Right, he's dead, and it's not going to go out there. But I guess they're saying that's generally where it would go out. That's the natural way of it going out. Just like in the drawer, no one said you're actually taking it out of the drawer. It's just the assumption is that's the direction it's going to end up going. Even though you're right, it really won't in this case. Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera Omer, ben kach uben kach habayit tameh. Either direction it is, and that's because there's two ways food could go out of your body. You could spit it out, or you could excrete it. So there's basically two different options.
Dead.
What?
Or you could be dead.
Or you could be dead and it won't come out at all. But okay. So those are the four different opinions. Now what are they saying? Go back to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, "Ro'ina tatuma mikineged hamashkof lifnim habayit tameh, mikineged hamashkof lachutz habayit tahor." So my love, I aim betzavaro potech petach kai. It sounds like he's referring to Kai Rabbi Yossi, sorry, that he means, he's saying if it, and what did the first opinion say, Rabbi Meir? He said, if there's betzavaro potech petach, potech tefach, all the tongue twisters today, if in your tzavar, right, there's a space, the circumference is a tefach, then the tumah can go out. So what does he say? He must be saying in the case where ein tzavaro potech petach, then we just figure, is it keneged hamashkof? Is it considered in the house or is it not considered in the house? Now, what would that mean? It would mean that he's saying, if you don't have a tefach, then what's the story? Then that's tumah tmuna, and then it's boka veola, because what's he saying, right? If it's in the house, remember, if you're within the, right, you're beyond the mashkof, you're in the house actually, well, then it'll be tameh because it's actually in the house because the tumah goes out. And therefore, what do you see here? Tumah tmuna, even if there's not a tefach of space there, or specifically when there's not a tefach of space, the tumah is going to go out. So that's the way they first understood Rabbi Yossi. And then that seems to contradict because we said tumah tmuna ein abokat v'ola. So what did they answer? No, you misunderstood Rabbi Yossi. Amar Rava, ro'in et halal hatumah katane. The Rabbi Yossi betarte plige. When it says ro'in, what it means is you look at the inside space of the throat and not The circumference measures the outer size, right? What Rabbi Meir said is measure the circumference on the outside. But he says, what do you mean? There's all this flesh and things that you don't count in, don't factor into the measurement. He says, I want to know, is there empty space in your throat? Exactly is what we, right? I want to know inside your throat, is there empty space of a tefach? You have to measure the halal hatumah. Number one, that's what he says. And then, v'ka'amar le'la Rabbi Meir, so he says like this, d'ka'amarta ki yesh b'tzabaro potech petach mibi etatumah, anam batar halalazin. I go by the inner space and not the outer space. I don't measure from the circumference, I measure from the inside. U'd'ka'amarta kulo tameh mikineged amashkof l'ifnima b'ayetameh. And the other thing I disagree about you is you said the bayit, you didn't specify where exactly, right? You seem to include the mashkof. I think we don't include the mashkof. Okay, so he's basically disagreeing about two things. That's the way we reinterpret the mission to make sense with tuma tumuna, eina bokavola, in which case that's not what he's talking about here. What he's talking about is, I disagree with you about the space, the halal tuma, and I disagree with you about where then it would be. Okay. And then he's not saying, right? He's talking about a case where there is a tefach, in which case this has nothing to do with it. Okay, so that's Rabbi Yossi. So we've established now that Rabbi Yossi holds that tuma tmuna eina bokafo ola. Okay, and now, and we tried to bring a contradiction, but we've resolved it. Rav Acha b'rei de Rava matne la behedya. He says, by the way, this interpretation we just brought of that Mishnah, he says explicitly, Rabbi Yossi Omer, this is how he reads, first of all, if you noticed, our Mishnah said, Roin mikineged ashkof, right, when we had quoted it. If you look in the Kahati, for example, it says, Roin et hatuma, which is the version that I corrected it based on. But if you look in here, they're saying his Rav Acha, Berei de Rava's version, said, Roin et halal hatuma. He had a different version of this Mishnah, which actually made it very clear that what we just explained is actually the accurate reading of it. Because that's exactly what it said. Okay. Now, our assumption was, okay, going back, that our Mishnah was Rabbi Yossi, who says, again, this was according to the second interpretation we saw yesterday, that Naga is the same as Mahil, okay, and that's Rabbi Yossi's opinion. And then the question is, who disagrees with Rabbi Yossi? Who's the person who doesn't think that Naga is Mahil? That they're one and the same. So, Mantana de Paligale, Rabbi Shimon, who... they say very simply, it's Rabbi Shimon. Titania, and this is actually in the Tosefta in Oalot. Now, it's important to know in the Tosefta in Oalot, it starts off with Rabbi Yossi. The first line is Rabbi Yossi. And the second is Rabbi Shimon. So it makes it even more clear. The Gemara didn't tell us that whole thing, but it makes it even more clear when you see that clearly they're disagreeing. Titania, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shalosh, because there it said, I have to remember, Don, if you look in the back of that Gemara, there's a Tosefta there. Can't forget. The Tosefta in Oalot basically brings Rabbi Yossi. I can't get it right now, but you can look there. And it's in the Tosefta Perakhet of Oalot. And then it says, one second, is it, does it say here where the exact source is? No, it doesn't say. Okay. So Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shalosh Tum'ot Porshot Min Amet. Shtayim b'chol echad. There's three different types of tumas that come out of a mate. Now, there's three different ways that a mate is metame. There's actually more than three, okay? But he wants to create this nice, we've seen this before, where every two there's three types of tumas, which is maga, masa, and ohel. And there's three types of items, of ways of a tuma mate. Etzem, we're going to talk about, right? The bone of a mate. Let's read it. One second. Melo tarvad rekev, that spoonful of the dust that comes from the dead body, and the golel and the dofek, which is, if you've ever been to Beit Sharim, we talked about this before, right? They have these caves, burial caves, so there's the covering of the cave itself, this round circle that they would kind of put over the covering of the opening of the cave, and the cover they would put on the, seems like maybe they're talking about the cover because they would be in a sort of sarcophagus with a cover on it. So that's the golel and the dofek. So those are three types of things that are metame. And of the three things, maga, masa, and ohel, each one has two and not the third. And it's going to be, right, crossover, right? Each one will have two and not the other one. Okay, that's how it's going to work. So that's why they say he talked specifically only about three, to make this, like, nice and cute. So shlosha tumot porshot menamet, shtayim b'chol echat. Ushlishit ein bahem, right? So each one, two of them, relate to two of those tumot, but the third doesn't. Ve'eluhem, v'lo tarva rekev, ve'etzem kiseora, that means a bone even the size of a seora is metame, v'gola v'dofek. So how does it work? Melo tarvad rekev mitame b'masa uba ohel. Okay, so this cup, what did we talk about this cup full? What's the problem with maga? Can't be mitame b'maga because you can't touch the whole thing all at once. So he says it's only mitame b'masa uba ohel and not b'nigia. What do you already see here? He disagrees with Rabbi Yossi because Rabbi Yossi holds nigia and ohel are the same and he calls them two different things. Ve'eino mitame b'maga, and it's not mitame b'maga as we explained. Behechan magao. So where is there a din of maga? Imachat mehem, which really means with the other two. I don't know why they say imachat. It means with all the others is what it really means to say. Meaning, right, there is by etzem, it's matame b'maga, and the gola and the dofek are matame b'maga. Etzem kiseora, mitame b'masa u'b'maga, ve'eino mitame ba'oel. The next two things we're going to learn are just halacha l'moshe m'sinai. We don't really know why. But the fact that etzem adam is metame is not metame ba'ohel. It's only metame memaga umasa. Ve'chan o'alo, so where do we have a din of o'el? Again, imachat mehem, meaning with gola l'dofek and with the melotarva rekep. If those are in a house or a tent or a, you know, some covered space, it will affect everything in that space. Gola v'dofek, you can already know where they're going with this, mitame b'maga uba ohel, ve'eino mitame b'masa. Those are not, if you carry them, you're not going to be mitame, meaning carry them without touching them. Again, that's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. It could be also, I'm assuming, now it just hit me, that those items aren't generally carried on a tray, right? In other words, you might carry a bone on a tray, but these kind of things, if you're going to carry them, you're actually going to touch them. They're very unlikely, and maybe that's why there is no tumah by carrying them, because it's just not a typical way of moving those items. V'hechan masa'o, so where is their tumah masa? Im echat mehem, meaning in the etzem kiseora and in the melo tarvad rekev. Which again is this teaspoonful full of, or spoonful, I don't know exactly what size, spoonful of ashes from the dead body, or dust from the dead body. Okay, kulit nevela v'kulit hasheretz. We're now going, we've dealt a lot with this kulit hameid. Until now, that's all we were really talking about was tumat meid. Now we're moving on to the last part of the Mishnah about, or the later part about the kulit nevela and kulit sheretz, which we said what? If they're sealed shut and there's no cracks in them whatsoever, then they're not mitame. Okay? Even though they're a shomer of what's inside, we don't count that, right? As long as it's sealed. But if they're cracked, if there's some sort of nekev, then we're going to assume since you can touch it, therefore you can actually touch the meat part inside, which is the moacha etzem, the marrow. Therefore, it's metame. So where do we get this from? Tanu rabanan bin nivlata, right? We've seen this many times. Ki amu mina beima shuri lachem lochla hanogab bin nivlata. So what do they say? V'lo b'kulit stuma. Nivlata means you actually have to be touching the meat and not in a sealed bone. Yachol afilu nikvan. Maybe even if it has a crack, it would be excluded. Talmud lamar, hanogea yitma. Okay, it says hanogea benivlata yitma. Yitma seems to be including something additional. Etchef sharliga tame. So therefore, what does it mean? Not just if you're nogea, but if there's potential to be nogea, meaning it's cracked. Ve'etchef sharliga tahor. And if you can't touch it, it's tahor. Amale Rabbi Seira la baye. Ela me'ata, if you're going to say this, then behema be'ora lo titma. Then a behema, with all its skin on, before you've taken the skin off a dead animal, what would you say? Ah, you have, it's covered with skin. The skin is sealing it all shut. You can't get into the meat. You can't touch the meat if you have a dead animal. You can only touch the skin. Therefore, maybe you would say a dead animal, before you've taken off the skin, is actually not metame. So what do they say? Pok chaze kamene kavim yeshba. What do you mean? There's all sorts of holes in the body, right? There's your nostrils. There's all sorts of holes in your body. Therefore, you can get to the meat through those holes that exist, and that's why an animal with all its skin on is still going to be matami. Amale rav papa l'rav alameata. Well, if you're going to say that, though, chulia bechelba lo titma. The liver is entirely covered with fat around it, the chaylev around it, which means, again, you can't get to it. It's like it's sealed. So how could that be? Not, right? You would think that wouldn't be metame. So what do they say? No, tachaze Kama chutin nimshachim hemena. Okay, a liver is obviously attached to other parts of your body. How is it attached? Through veins and other things going? Those are the things that they come out, and those are considered like meat, and therefore all the parts of the liver that connect it to other parts of the body, that's already considered, they're considered flesh, and therefore it's not that the liver is entirely sealed with fat. By Rav Hoshaya, now here comes a good question about, this is where always interesting, where they talk about what, how you view something. Just your machshava alone can be significant. Chishev aleha linukva. You wanted to cut the bone, but you didn't yet, or make a crack in it or something, but you didn't yet. Mahu. Michusar nikiva kemichusar ma'asedami. Do we say, since you didn't yet do it, even though you wanted to do it, you didn't yet do it, it's mechusar ma'aseh, which means in order to have a hole, you need to actually do some act to it, which means we're going to view it as if it doesn't have a hole and it's a tomb and it's not metameh. Olo, or maybe we say, no. The fact that you wanted to make a hole in it already makes it that it potentially could be touched, the meat, because you were planning to crack the bone. Therefore, even if you didn't yet, it's going to be metameh. So that's the question. The Gemara actually, right, you would think this would be one of those tekus. So I'll tell you it's a sort of teku, because the Gemara answers it. I'll read the answer. Hadar pashta mechusar nekeva lav kemechusar ma'aseh dami. The Gemara says, if it's you haven't made a hole, a crack in it, it's not mechusar ma'aseh, meaning it's as if you made a hole, and it's metameh.
But it actually makes sense. It's much deeper than just a shallow question. Because how are we imagining tuma in itself is a thought process and not an actual process.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see it, we don't feel it, we understand it because it's a concept that we've been learning, except that if you start thinking about it, I might do this and find a way to let the tuma come out. It seems that it goes
right.
The same
it's actually similar to this idea that we started the daf with, that since you're going to eventually take it out of the drawer, just the fact that even if you didn't even think about it in that case, but here we're going based on standard behavior would be to take it out, so therefore we view it as going out. So here, what you're saying is just that you thought to cut it open would mean that eventually you planned on it coming out. Yafe, I like that thought, that basically tumah is anyway sort of something that we've created. It's not tangible, it's not, you can't see it. I wouldn't say it's machshava based, it's actually based, because it's based on, I would make one distinction, it's not based on machshava, it's based on it's from a dead body, there's actual tumah in it, but we view it through this, it's not visible, it's not noticeable, so maybe you could connect it. Okay. What's interesting about this Gemara is there's different versions of this. So the answer, according to this, is it machshava works. There's another version that says dafka the opposite. It is mechusar ma'aseh. And there's a third version which says the Gemara didn't answer it. So it's, as I said, it's kind of left as a teiko because there's all different versions about how to read this Gemara. Okay, new Mishnah. Beitzat hasheretz hamurukemet. Okay, this is a sheretz that you have an egg of one of the shratzim, which the embryo started to form. Tehorah. Okay, that's tahor. Right, in other words, the assumption is it. One second. One thing. Beitzat hasheretz. Right, can't pass tumah. Right, because you can't, what's the issue? It's an egg, but you can't get inside what's inside the egg. Okay, and therefore it's tehora. But nikva koshu, if it's already merukemet, that you have this egg, which I guess is dead. In other words, it's like a dead egg at this point. So if the fetus had started to form, but the egg is still intact, then again, it's this case of it's sealed shut and nothing can come out. But nikva kolshu, but if there's any sort of crack in it, then it's tameh. Okay, then the tumah goes out. Only if it's merukemet, though. If it hadn't yet fully started forming, again, exactly what stage this is tricky, but started forming. Achbar shechetzio basar vechetzio adama. Here we have a very interesting case. They believed, okay, this, many people talk about this, from the Rambam to Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch talks about this, that there were certain beliefs that they had about, that modern science has now disproven, but this was apparently a theory that, according to the note I saw in the Koran, that it went until the 19th century, people still believed this, that there was what we call spontaneous generation, and that these animals were, these creepy crawlers were created from the dust, Okay? So what if you have an achbar that's partially, now how you have a case like this, I'm not exactly sure, but it's partially basar and partially adama. Okay? Part of it is...
alive or dead?
So now it's dead.
Okay, because it could be decomposing.
No, but the assumption was part of it was from spontaneous generation and part of it was from reproduction. In other words, it was, right? So how you exactly have a case like that, I'm not exactly sure. But there's like part of it that's that and part of it like that. So now they say, Hanogea bebasar tameh. If you touch the flesh part of it, it's tameh. Ba'adama tahor. By the way, there's a different interpretation. Rabbi Yosef Kapach, who died in the year 2000, lived recently, he said that what it's talking about is an animal that's full of so much dirt that the dirt kind of creates a layer on the animal. And it's not talking about spontaneous generation. So anyway, that's... it's another interpretation, maybe more matching what you're saying, Ruth, that there's just so much adamani. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, even if you touch the adama part, if it's near the basar part, then it's tameh. So Tanu Rabbanan, hatmeim, so the bright, now they bring a bright to prove to learn the laws in our Mishnah. Hatmeim, again, we keep going back to this hatmeim, we've learned so many different things from it. I don't know how you deal with the fact that you can't learn more than one thing from, you know, one word. This comes to teach you both an egg coming from a sheretz and the kuli bone of the sheretz are mitame. You might have thought, if it's, we're talking about the beitza, maybe even from the very beginning, before it even starts to form, to create, you know, become formed. Talmud lamar hasheretz, because it says hasheretz there. Elatmeim lachem b'chol hasheretz and not b'chol sheretz. Ma sheretz sherakam. Since it has to be like a sheretz, well, a sheretz is obviously formed, therefore the fetus also has to be somewhat formed. Now you might have thought, maybe the beitzat sheretz, even if there's no hole in the egg. Tamud lamar, hanogea yitma. Again, we go back to this. If you touch it, yitma. Echef sharliga teme. Only if you can touch it, does it pass tuma. But eche yif sharliga tahur. How much of it does it have to be cracked in order to count it as mitame? Even if just a hair can fit through that crack, that's enough. We talked about this yesterday, although we didn't see it inside. Here we see it inside, since you can touch it using a hair. Okay. Now we're going to talk about this chetzi case. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, v'hu shehishritz al pnei kula. This is only if when it formed, it was formed fully on the length, like it's not fully formed, but it's formed like the across the whole length of it. Like just a little part is formed, but not across the length of the sheretz, then it's not considered tameh, this achbar chetzio chetzio. Ika dematne la seifa. Some people say that Rabbi Yehuda's statement was, Rabbi Shoban Levi's statement was said about the seifa of our Mishnah, which is Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afa nogea ba'damasha keneged abasar tameh. And he was talking about Rabbi Yehuda, who said, if you're noget, remember, there were two things in the Mishnah. There's Tanakama, who says, Achbar shechetzio basar chetzio adama noget ba-basar tameh, if it's ba-adama tahor. And then there's Rabbi Yehuda says, even the adama shekeneged abasar is tameh. So if you say that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, that's only if yishritz al pnei kula is it going to be tameh, right? But who yishritz al pnei kula, but if it wasn't Hishritz al Pnei Kula, it's going to be Tahor. So that's, some people say it's talking about that. But some people say it's actually about the Reisha. So Man Demat Ne La Reisha, if you say that Hushi Hishritz al Pnei Kula is talking about Tanakama, which is Hanogea Babasar Tameh, but Ba'adama Tahor, but you're only going to be Tameh if Hishritz al Pnei Kula, then obviously he would say it on the Seifa also. He would say it on what Rabbi Yehuda said, which is Rabbi Yehuda said, "Apanugei abadamasha keneged abasar tameh." That's only going to be if yishritz al pnei kula. So man dematne la resha would say kol shekein asefa. Uman dematne la asefa. Those who say that Rabbi Shob and Levi said it on the latter part, which is on Rabbi Yehuda, "Apanugei abadamasha keneged abasar tameh." That's only if yishritz. He's not going to say that about the resha, right? Avala resha afal gav dilo yishritz. But in the Reisha, when he's talking about, when the Tanakhama says, if you touch the basar tameh, if you touch this echbar shechetio basar chetio adama, and you touch babasar, you touch the flesh, it doesn't matter if yishritz al pnei kula, you're touching flesh. So if Rabbi Shob ben Levi said it on the latter part, it wouldn't relate to the earlier part of the Mishnah. Okay, we'll stop here for today, and tomorrow we're going to get to this big drasha about how do we know what type of, when we say achbar, what kind of achbar is this referring to? Because achbar is one of the Shmoneh Shratzim, and is it, we're going to talk about what kind of achbar, okay? And is it include an achbar that lives in the water? We're going to learn that there's something called a sea mouse, because it kind of looks like a mouse, even though it's not really a mouse. Does it include this chetzio basar, chetzio, right, that, or all those different kind of cases? We're going to have a debate about it. What if it doesn't include the water? Would it include someone who, an achbar that goes into the water? When he's in the water, maybe he's not matam. Maybe we're going to raise all sorts of questions and learn them out from drashot, or potentially try to learn it from a logical inference.